We're back. Okay, here we go. Beginning a successful small group parish strategy. And I call it a strategy, it's not a program, remember. So you're probably wondering, who can lead a cell group? We need leaders, we need facilitators. And the answer is that anyone can lead a cell group. A small group leader is someone who has caught the vision of what small evangelizing cells are about. The church exists to evangelize. So the mini church, the small group, also exists to evangelize and eventually to multiply or to give birth to a new group. This is a vision of parish evangelizing small group. This is a vision that the cell leader must catch. So a leader does not need a degree in theology. Great to have a degree in theology, but a leader doesn't need a degree in theology. Some of the most effective small groups in the life of a parish are led not by the highly educated, but by the willing. A leader is a servant, following in the footsteps of Christ when he said, "I come to serve, not to be served." A leader is available to those in his group or her group and stays in contact with them and, most importantly, prays for them. A leader does not have to have all the answers. Thank God. A leader need only be resourceful enough to find out the correct answers. So a phone call, a text message to your shepherd, or to the deacon, or to the pastor, will accomplish this. A leader is an encourager and is the key in motivating others to take on leadership. He or she delegates duties. Love to delegate. I love to delegate. Delegates duties and makes others feel comfortable doing that task. A leader is welcoming and creates a climate of warm cordiality, friendship, and joy during the cell meeting. A leader comes under authority, most important. Within the small group structure, a leader must come under authority. The authority is, of course, the pastor. Leaders are accountable to their shepherd and to the pastor for maintaining good order.
So now let's talk about launching parish cells or small groups in your community. Our communities must become genuine schools of prayer, where a meeting with Christ is expressed not just in imploring help, but also thanksgiving and praise and adoration and contemplation, listening and ardent devotion until the heart truly falls in love with Jesus. To start, gather together in a small group of 4 or 5 people and share with them about the experience. Ideally, the pastor and some members of the parish team are part of this group. The pastor's primary function is to contribute to their spiritual formation, to inspire evangelization, to present the vision and the mission of the parish, and place small groups within it. Prayer, we say that over and over, prayer is the fundamental element for launching and developing small groups. It is important from the initial stages to invest in prayer with the parish team, in prayer with the entire community. A number of parishes have their own prayer for evangelization and for small groups. And development, which is at times to read during the celebration of the weekday or Sunday Eucharist or in small groups themselves. Eucharistic adoration is emphasized, Claudia said that earlier, as an important pillar, a time of conversation with Jesus. When people hear his voice and his wisdom and guidance for their lives. At St. Edward, the initial small group remained together for almost 6 months. These meetings fulfilled 2 purposes. First, it provided leadership training for the smaller group. It facilitated participants to come to a new faith, a baptism in the Spirit, helped them find words for their new experience, and communicated the thinking behind the small group strategy of evangelization. Secondly, it planned for the parish-wide sign-up Sunday. That would take place after the 6 months, when all parishioners would be invited to sign up for small groups. All during this time, hours and hours and hours of Eucharistic adoration were offered up for launching small groups in the parish. The initial group was in reality a temporary small group and a training ground for people who would eventually lead the new small group. Participants began to share with family and friends and neighbors and anyone they met, including work colleagues, about their experience and what it meant to them. When family members and friends were invited, this meant that the number of people attending the original group began to increase. When Sign Up Sunday arrived with much talk from the AMBO, there were 10 trained leaders ready to facilitate their own small group. In the intervening years, small evangelization groups have continued to grow. At St. Edward, in the last 16 years, we have over 50 small groups. It is important to keep community informed about the new experience. For example, through the pulpit announcements, very important that the community hears it directly from the AMBO, from parish bulletins, local newspapers, local radio, an annual small group week, a rally, advertising, special events, witnessing, a multiplication during the Sunday Mass. All of this is very important in the launching of parish evangelizing cells or small groups.
Okay, best practices. This is the one Craig asked for, I remember. Well, tell us what's going to benefit, the do's and the don'ts, and what has worked best for us. So I said, and Ileana said, the pastor has to be 100% involved and supportive of parish small groups. He must be the one that casts the vision for the groups and who dreams for the groups. He may, for example, delegate some of his teachings if he wishes, but his voice should be the charge for small groups. The pastor should be the head coach for his small group leaders, motivating them and making time for them. Half-day morning retreats for leaders every 6 months or so does a lot to fan the flame for leaders. The pastor will get to know his leaders and then encourage them to use their particular gifts. The pastor should speak often about small groups from the pulpit and keep them open and highly visible to all in the parish. Small groups are not cliques or social clubs. I'll say that again. If a small group turns into a clique, that's the death of it. A small group, and this evangelizing group, is not a rosary group, as wonderful as rosary groups are. Small groups must remain focused on evangelizing, reaching out constantly to others in the parish and the community. If small groups stop reaching out and discipling, they will revert into closed fellowship groups with a limited lifespan. Each small group should set a date in the future for multiplication, for that birthing that we spoke about. And this date should be prayed upon at every opportunity within the small group. Leaders and co-leaders need ongoing training, no matter how long they've been leading. As leaders come together, there's a bit of cross-pollination going on, which is good. They talk about their best practices and get back to basics of following the small group agenda, which Ileana is going to go into right now. Don't change the agenda. No experimenting with the recipe. It works. The major strategy of evangelizing small groups is not so much recruiting new members, but raising and training and motivating new leaders. Your new leaders are sitting right in your living room with you. Remember, we're discipling. Since small group leaders are often involved in a variety of other ministries in the church, especially as you first launch your small groups, we found that twice a month meetings is quite sufficient. There are some places around the world that do it once a week, and we know that the youth group likes to meet. You know, the youth, you got to make them meet. We have teen cell, young adult cells. They want to meet every week. But for those who are involved in so many other things in the adult cells, we find that twice a month, you pick two meeting dates, that's quite sufficient. Lastly, it is most important to communicate in word and action that these small groups do not operate in isolation from the vision and ministries of the parish. These groups, although always looking outward, remain at the heart of the parish, being nourished through the sacramental life of the parish. Pope Francis in Evangelii Gaudium, paragraph 28, sums this up very nicely, the essence of what we have shared over the last 2 days. And I quote, "While certainly not the only institution which evangelizes, if the parish proves capable of self-renewal and constant adaptivity, it continues to be the church living in the midst of the homes of her sons and daughters. This presumes that it really is in contact with the homes and the lives of its people and does not become a useless structure out of touch with people or a self-absorbed group made up of a chosen few. The parish is the presence of the church in a given territory, an environment for hearing God's word, for growth in the Christian life, for dialogue, proclamation, charitable outreach, worship, and celebration. In all its activities, the parish encourages and trains its members to be evangelizers. It is a community of communities, a sanctuary where the thirsty come to drink in the midst of their journey, and a center of constant missionary outreach."
Okay, I know you've been hearing us talk, so you know what time it is. Time for you to work. And are you ready to get to work? I'd like you to please sit at your tables facing everyone inward. You don't need to look at me. Get comfortable in your tables. I want you to imagine at this time that you're in the home of your leader. And I know what you're going to say, but what leader? I don't have a leader. But you're going to name a leader right now. So if you would, please, just name one person at the table, the leader, the facilitator of this small group. One person. You have bookmarks at your table, and those will serve for two purposes during our meeting. One is going to be to follow the parish small group agenda, and the other will be in a prayer that we're going to join together momentarily. So do not forget that this will be your first experience to share with your oikos, the first opportunity for you to evangelize when you go home. Think about that. The first step in the agenda when you're sitting in your small group is to praise and worship through song. We may not be used to singing in such a small group, so you can use a CD or a song. Make a joyful noise. The Lord loves joy and enthusiasm. More important, you don't need a good voice. Trust me, I know this. You just have to sing for the Lord. And let God do the rest. Claudia spoke about delegation. You can appoint someone in your group to do a song. The opening song will lead into praise, prayer, prayer of thanksgiving. In the interest of time today, we're not going to play a song because we want to do teaching coming up in just a few minutes. So the most important thing is that we're going to share a prayer of thanksgiving. I'm going to start offering one today for you. And then I'd like two of you or three of you, as time permits, we're going to do maybe 1 minute. If you would please offer in your living rooms, in the small group, a prayer of thanksgiving. Precious and merciful Lord, we thank you for the great blessing that you have given Claudia and me today to be in Lansing, Michigan, and share the gift that you so graciously gave us. Lord, hear our prayer.
Lord, hear our prayer.
If you would begin in your small group, one at a time, share, please, for 1 minute. Thank you. I know many of you have many prayers to share, and we thank the Lord for all your prayers. The next agenda item, number 2, is the abbreviated Lectio Divina, or the Divine Reading. This is the scripture passage. Many of you know what this is, and following in praise prayer, This format quiets the group. This will allow them to really read scripture and listen to God's voice. So I ask you to be quiet as I speak through the words that Jesus gave us for this particular time. Open your hearts to these words. I'm going to read the passage. I'm going to give you a minute of silence. I'm going to read it again. And then you're going to share what the Lord has put in your heart about this passage. Open your hearts now as I read the words from Luke chapter 5, verse 7 to 11. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come to help them. They came and filled both boats so that they were in danger of sinking. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell to his knees and said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For astonishment at the catch of fish they had made seized him and all those with him. And likewise James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners of Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." When they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." When they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. I would ask you at this time to share with your group, one or two of you, what insights Jesus has placed in your heart through this scripture. Thank you. The next part of the agenda, I want to get to the teaching, which is really an important part of this. So I want to be able for you to share all of this time. And just remember that this meeting takes an hour and a half at home. So today it's going to be very abbreviated.